Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I'm super confident in our locker room. I look around at our players, and I know the work that's been put in. I know the, you know, what we've done before. Obviously, we've seen it done. We had a big win earlier in the year in week two, and obviously, we don't want to look in the past, but we know we can do it. It's just about going out there executing throughout the week, you know, giving ourselves the best chance to do it on Sunday. So I still have full confidence in our guys. That's definitely not going to waver for me.
That is Aiden O'Connell.
Did he answer your question at all?
Sort of. He didn't really answer the question, but my question to him was, is his team any good right now? And so he just said that he has confidence in his teammates. I'm not sure how much he actually answered it, but there you go. Anyway, 5 o'clock frenzy. We are back. At Ellis Island, front yard, it is Willie, it is Alex, Cofield and Company live on the scene as we always are. Once again, thanks to Reno for jumping in the middle hour. We got about 20 minutes before kickoff. We are going to break that game down here. Actually, you know what? Let's get right to that. Alex, I'm going to leave it to you. The Bills, from what I can see, -141 in New York. Number continues to dip. Sharps started betting New York at +3. What do you see?
So I like this play before all of the news, and it doesn't bother me. I think that we will see this team come together. Of course, Robert Saleh no longer the head coach for the Jets. Jeff Ulbrich, interim head coach, he's the defensive coordinator. He'll step in that role, and now Todd Downing will be calling the plays offensively. Well, the reason I like this play before that, and that is the Jets getting the points here. Now there's not much value there. It's one or 1.5. So I would just take a little bit on the Jets' money line to win this outright. I mean, this is a top defense. They are number one in yards per play, holding teams to just 4.3. Total yards, they're tied at fifth best. So I think they'll be fine in this game. And I know that the offense of the Jets have really struggled and hasn't been what we expected just yet. We've only seen, I think, one full game from Aaron Rodgers in this offense. But they needed a change, right? And that firing is going to get this locker room shaken up a little bit. Everybody's kind of on edge, and we're going to see their best effort tonight.
Well, and what's wild is, you know, you always hear that, right, is a lot of people jump on, and they haven't learned. They're starting to learn that, is that when there's a firing, it's better to look, rather than a dysfunction, but to look at to that it could change things. And what's weird was the whole play calling thing. Right, with Nathaniel Hackett was Aaron Rodgers' guy in Green Bay, right?
Yep.
So now that's completely gone. And I just have to wonder if how does the playbook change to complement a defense that's already been in place and sort of doing its job? How do you make that work? And a lot of times with the defense, you want your running game intact. So you can grind away, pulverize that defensive line, draw in the secondary, space things out, and then allow Aaron Rodgers to take the game vertical while your defense does a job to keep you on the field. I really would be interested to see what they do to change it, how much change it'll be, which, you know, how the plays will break down from runs to passes. And that's a big, big thing.
No, it is. I mean, the Jets are passing the most out of any team in the NFL right now. They have to get their run game going because they're just too predictable. And I'm just giving one side. I mean, of course, there is a scenario where the Bills come in here and dominate because we've seen two different Buffalo teams so far this year. We've seen the really good Buffalo team against bad teams, and we've seen the bad Bills team against really good teams like the Ravens. I mean, they were – couldn't really do much in that game at all. So it's kind of tough to really handicap the Bills right now, but this is a meaningful game for the division. The Jets could be tied right now.
Looking at Pro Football Focus, over the Bills' is 3-game road trip, the defense earned the lowest team coverage grade in the NFL, due in large part to their inability to limit chunk plays, as Buffalo allowed the highest explosive pass percentage in the league over that span. Aaron Rodgers, over 1.5 passing touchdowns with the change in playbook, with the sort of a new attitude, with a rejuvenated outlook. Do you like player props tonight?
I would look at, I think it's going to be more on the run game. And so I would look more at Breece Hall, but I don't hate that over 1.5. You know what is crazy too? Josh Allen has not thrown an interception yet this year, and Aaron Rodgers comes in here at 4. And a lot of people are just looking at his over half because he's coming off a game where he threw 3, and I think the complete opposite. I think he's going to be dialed in and try and be as mistake-free as he can be. He doesn't want people to think that this falls on him, right? And that's how you kind of look at it with the teams is like, yeah, a coach got let go. Look how good we are. It's not on us. We keep our jobs kind of thing. So it'll be an interesting game, and it's funny because we have our Team Circa contest here.
Right,
and I had to ask. I'm like, am I allowed to take the Jets as my pick for our group?
I loved it.
Because I was I didn't want to – I feel bad for Cofield, too. I do know that that is his team, and I'm like
– No, I actually – when I saw – when I first saw it come across, I was doing something. I don't remember what. And I didn't answer right away. And then I looked and nobody had answered. And so I looked at it and I was like, I want to throw the – and I thought the same thing as you. And I was like, do I want to do this? And I instead, the other game that I – there was – well, there was, I liked a couple of games this week. I thought one of the best plays, in addition to that total that I told you earlier, I really loved the Ravens and Commanders over. That actually was the very first thing I wrote last week for this week for a website. I ghost wrote that I thought it was going to be a high-scoring game, and it crept over at the end. But I like the Eagles. For some reason, I thought that they were going to beat up on the Browns. I didn't like Deshaun Watson's attitude the week before, walking off the field. I thought that we haven't seen a full, 60-minute game from the Eagles, so I thought that it was a right spot. They didn't cover. You have the Jets. Justin turned in the Lions. That obviously was a winner. Then the list says Griffin with question marks, Cofield with question marks. It came from the Chargers and Broncos and the Bucks and Saints. Griffin, what was your pick?
Unfortunately, I did not get my pick in on time, but I told Steve after Friday's show, or they already submitted our picks. I told him I was going to go with my heart, and I was going to pick Chicago to get it done against the Jaguars in London. Unfortunately for all of us in the Circle Millions contest, I did not get that pick in time because my Bears did exactly that, and they showed just how much of a fraud that boy Trevor Lawrence is.
Okay, so the picks that we had were the Saints, the Eagles, that's 0-2, the Broncos, that's 0-3, the Lions, 1-3, and the Jets. So if Alex can save us, and we got 2.5, so you got us some value.
To get some value.
So we got 2.5. So if we can go 2-3, it would hopefully make up for I think we had a disastrous week the week before.
And we started so hot.
We did.
Those first 2 weeks.
We did. We started off really, really well. So is there a prop out there, because you brought up interceptions, where can we find, or what is the number, do you know off the top of your head, will Josh Allen throw a pick?
I will find that for you
okay,
right now.
Okay, she's going to find that. Once again, let's get the current line as the game approaches right now. I still have my WNBA page up. So current line right now that I'm seeing across the board as far as the consensus, word was escaping me, is 1, Buffalo -1 across the board with a total of 42, couple of 42.5s out there. The Superbook, where Jonathan Von Tobel hosts every Sunday and gets you ready for the games, they currently have the number at Buffalo 1 -08 and 42. So, and if you don't tune in on Sundays, make sure that you do that or go down and visit them. JVT is at the Westgate every single Sunday. He's breaking it down with the football preview show, and he's talking about every single game, so make sure you check that out. And Saturday mornings, we got Danny and Jared over at Treasure Island from 9 to 11 with Throw the Flag, and they put out some good content there, and they also put it on Twitch. So, okay, what'd you find?
Okay, so I'm not the only one that was thinking this way, because right now, Josh Allen over half, so one interception -145, and then Aaron Rodgers is just -110 to throw an interception.
Ah.
So I don't know. I don't really love either of those. I wouldn't lay the minus 145. Josh Allen probably has that in the back of his mind. He has led the league in interceptions the last couple years, but not this year because Will Levis is definitely doing that.
Well, you brought up Circa. You brought up our picks. Don't forget Circa Las Vegas Thursdays. Cofield & Company is there. Stadium Swim. They got the All Aboard SS Feast. Stadium Swim platter isn't for the faint of heart. Feast is served on their luxurious mega yacht. It includes favorites such as lobster corn dog, sliders, shrimp cocktail, and more. So get your crew and get out to Circa. All right. We normally have RJ Clifford, but we couldn't get him aboard for this week, so we're going to catch up with him next week. But he will definitely talk about the Raiders at times, talk about some NFL, but he also talks MMA. And our guy Griffin, you know, he went up to Salt Lake a couple of weeks ago for UFC. So let's bring Griffin in to talk about some MMA. And Griffin, by the way, I don't know what happened here. I tried to click the link to join you in the video room, which I'm going to do right now. But that first topic there with Conor McGregor, I'm going to leave that up to you and bring you in.
Yeah, of course. So I don't know how everybody's feeling. Everybody, especially MMA fans, might be feeling a little fatigued when it comes to the teasing of Conor McGregor's return. And now there's a new saga, a new chapter in this saga with now Conor McGregor has been linked and has been rumored to be possibly facing one of the hotter fighters in the lightweight division in Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker has about 3 wins straight. He's been on a tear. He's been in a lot of talks with guys like Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, a possible series of the BMF title being talked about with Dan Hooker. So he's a hot name. And then, of course, Conor McGregor, during his bare-knuckle fighting competition during this last card, he was asked about the possible return and possibility of facing Dan Hooker. He was all on board, which Conor usually is every time he talks about any possible opponent of his. But it's an interesting matchup. I sent it in just because I thought to myself, you know, Conor being the kind of fighter he is, you know, everybody's real excited whenever, if he ever returns to the octagon. And I think an opponent like Dan Hooker is kind of the perfect opponent for Conor McGregor's return, just in the aspects of his draw, his fighting style. There's a lot of interesting things with this fight that I think fans of MMA would get excited about.
All right. So now I know you sent this over, but do you happen to be a Saturday Night Live fan?
I was back when it was funny.
Oh, okay. Well, there are still parts. I love the weekend update, obviously, with Colin Jost and Michael Che. It's hilarious. And then when they do the season finale where they write each other's jokes. And you know why I like them a lot is because they write jokes, especially that particular one that they do in the season finale every single year. So one writes one joke, or one writes the jokes for one, and they can't look at it. And they've gone on and talked about how they really don't know. And like Michael Che, who is a black comedian, will write incredibly racial jokes for Colin Jost to read, and Colin Jost will write sort of misogynistic jokes or whatever for. And you know what? It reminds me of the 70s when we had Richard Pryor and Don Rickles, and everybody laughed at the Tonight Show and Johnny Carson, and it's great. Well, this past weekend, Ariana Grande was the host, making yet another SNL appearance, and she played Celine Dion. Have you seen the impressions that Ariana Grande does? She does incredible impressions.
I've seen a couple.
Yeah, she does incredible singing impressions,
yes,
and just talking impressions. So she played Celine Dion in a UFC promo skit where Celine Dion is wearing, I think she was wearing a UFC hoodie or a shirt or something, and she was doing these songs and promos. The skit made fun of UFC promos. It took shots like Grande singing as Celine Dion. Griff, what was your take on it?
It was so not funny. It was not that it was bad taste or it was like, oh, you're talking mess about the UFC. The UFC deserves sometimes to get talked messed about it, all right?
Yeah.
That wasn't my issue with it. My issue was just it was so random. There's so many funny things that if the SNL cast or the crew had a writer who was an actual fan of MMA, they could have actually gotten into the details and the big storylines going on currently in the UFC to make an actually really funny skit.
Right.
This one was just, it was okay. I mean, Ariana Grande is very talented, and I think that was her entire episode hosting the other night. that was kind of just showcasing her talents in singing and her talents of portraying, you know, other female singers. But right. when it came to this skit, I was just kind of like, you dropped the ball. You missed the mark. You could have done better.
So the writing itself, the jokes, they were misplaced in terms of what she was saying about the specific fighters and where they were, how they were placed, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's basically they were just she was singing the whole promo, kind of like Sunday Night Football with, you know, Underwood.
Carrie Underwood
singing the song. It was kind of like trying to impersonate or try to put something on like that. And it was just her being like, oh, an angry man with a cauliflower ear and a sideways nose. That is Mike Perry. Like, okay, yeah, that is kind of funny. Mike Perry has, you know, he's a huge character. But the rest of it, I'm just like, you're just pointing out what, you know, you're just pointing out different facets of UFC, of MMA. You got guys with cauliflower ears. You got 300-pound Bosnians vomiting up their own teeth. These are just things that happen in the UFC. Let's actually build. Let's actually create some good jokes.
You also sent over about Max Crosby. The laughing off of the sideline video of him shoving his coach, that became, I mean, that went viral. And I told when he brushed it off to the media members, I didn't go into the locker room. I was in the press conference. But when he brushed it off, like, I could see that being a thing where you just kind of shove each other in the chest.
Yeah. Just speaking as a guy who has been on football teams, everybody needs to stop being so dang sensitive, man.
Right.
Football is a brutal sport, and it's not just brutal in the plays on the field. It's brutal in the way guys show affection to each other. It's a very aggressive, you know, guys are going to be pushing their coaches. Coaches are going to be pushing their players. It's very aggressive. Let's not freak out. Let's just realize that this team, you know, Max is a leader for the Raiders. He's always going to try his best to corral his guys, show affection to his guys in the way that he knows how. Everybody just relax.
And forget about football. I mean, I think if you and I were at the gym and I said, you know what, Griff, I'm going for 275. Nope, you know what, let's do 315. You would probably just give me a shove, like slap the chest, give me something like, let's go.
I'm slapping you on the back and I'm saying, come on, baby boy, let's get this weight up.
I don't know about
let's
baby
go.
Boy. I mean, he could be my son, but I appreciate the pump. I'd be ready to if you were smacking me, yelling in my ear, I'd be ready to get to 315, throw three dishes up there and squat. By the way, before we get out of here for a break, did you see Olympia results? Are you into the bodybuilding? No?
I love the bodybuilding. I did not see the results of the most recent one. Please tell me about it.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to leave it there, but we're going to talk about it because there was a major, major, major name who, in his acceptance speech, retired. And it was wild. All right, real quick, before we get out of here, we got Danny Webster coming up. Giveaway. Two tickets for the October 25th show. Sam Hunt, live in concert at the Fountain Blue. Caller 7, two nights, October 25th and 26th. You're going to get two tickets for the October 25th show. Sam Hunt, live, Fountain Blue, Las Vegas. You're going to get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Make sure you download the app because that's where they're going to show up. Sam Hunt, live in concert, two nights, October 25th and 26th at Fountain Blue. The two tickets are for October 25th. Caller 7 right now with Griff.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
As Eichel, a shot from the neutral zone, is blocked by Blackwood, and that does it. The Sharks, in comeback fashion, finish off the preseason with a 6-5 win at the Fortress.
All right, welcome back, Cofield and Company. We are at Ellis Island, the front yard. The games have started, the nighttime action. The Mets have already beaten the Dodgers. We got the Bills and Jets, Monday Night Football underway. Jets with the 3-0 lead. Oh, isn't that something? I believe two hosts were telling you earlier that the Jets were not so bad of a choice tonight. Thank you, Alex White. Thank you, Willie Ramirez. Yankees and Guardians are also underway, the game one of the ALCS. Looks like scoreless. I'm not sure what inning that was. Was it the end of two, maybe? Golden Knights, though, Alex, they are 3-0. Five or six of the 8 years, they've started off 3-0. My guy Danny Webster for the Las Vegas Review-Journal beat writer covering the Golden Knights. Three takeaways from the Knights winning third straight last night. Danny, welcome to the show.
What is going on, guys? How we doing?
Well, I'm wondering what your takeaways were, because I've been so busy, so swamped, that I haven't read anybody's stuff the last 2 days. I told Adam I was going to read Adam Hill. I got to read his column on Jackson Woodard before I do the show with him tomorrow. I haven't read your Golden Knights stuff. Yesterday, you already know what kind of day I had. So, what were your three takeaways?
Three takeaways yesterday were the Golden Knights were going to get into a defensive game at some point. It was good that they got it out of the way yesterday with timely goals from guys who needed goals like Tomas Hurl and Pavel Dorofeev. That was number one. Number two, for me, the fourth line continues to be very, very good. Keegan Kolesar with two assists last night. He was tremendous, I think, on the forecheck, and he had probably one of his better offensive games he's had in quite a long time. And the third takeaway, just the fact that, you know, when you talk about the top line and what they've been able to do to begin this season, the fact that they were able to get depth scoring last night in a game where they're playing a Ducks team that was very structured, very sound, and was coming off the second night of a back-to-back, and you figure there might be a trap game at some point. The fact that they were able to find a way to play well enough in front of Ilya Samsonov to get a win last night, I would say brews confidence going into the first road trip of the season.
So the fourth takeaway has to be this for me. Vegas, as you and I both know, we've been on the beat since day one. You more so than I have for the most part. But this has become a mystique for some players when they relocate here. Can Samsonov rejuvenate his career here?
I think so. When you're talking about the type of system that the Golden Knights run, with it being a goalie friendly system, when you're talking about the way that they play well, no matter who is in net, and Samsonov seems to be the kind of goalie that is not going to overtly make the big mistake, and you can just expect him to move his big body from post to post and just make the very simple save, I think he has a very good chance to. Now, last night, I think you could probably chalk it up to a little bit of nerves, being his first home start in front of that crowd. You know, he's played in this building in T-Mobile Arena before, but he's never been the home goaltender. And he mentioned when I was talking to him off to the side the other day that there was going to be some nerves, and you know, there were some times where, you know, maybe his rebound control wasn't great, the way he was tracking pucks after the rebound wasn't so great, but the fact that he still only let in one and it was a breakaway where it really wasn't his fault, I would say that that's got to be a good sign of confidence for him. So I think there is a good chance, but I think we are going to need to see a few more starts at least throughout this month to kind of get a better idea of where Ilya Samsonov is right now.
Danny, you tweeted this last night, and man, you've got quite a few retweets and some likes here. Tomas Hurdle, quote, "I can't remember the last time I was 3-0. It feels great." Seems like the internet really liked that comment. Is Hurdle going to be a great interview for the rest of the year?
Oh yeah, I think so. He's such a very nice guy, very down-to-earth guy, and you know, he's someone who very much values winning. He wants to win. He hasn't won a Stanley Cup yet. You know, he has some very dark years in San Jose, and I think that Golden Knights fans, for a little bit of time that he's been here, have kind of gotten to see just the kind of player and the kind of person he is. So I definitely think if he starts to score a little bit more and he starts to get on the score sheet a little bit more consistently, we're going to hear some really great sound bites from Tomas Hurdle throughout the rest of the year.
And another sound bite from him was, he says, to always have fun. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, fun must be always, I believe, is the right term.
That's it.
And he's always having fun, you know, whether you're talking to him in the locker room or whether he's on the rink, he's always someone who's having fun. So I think that's something that any team would be very happy to have, and I think the Golden Knights are very happy to have him.
Give us an update on William Karlsson.
You know, Karlsson is not right now traveling on the upcoming three-game road trip. We still have no idea really what is going on. We're not really sure what kind of injury it is to this point. It's still undisclosed. But right now, he is not traveling on this three-game road trip. That does not mean he won't eventually join the team later on in the week. Bruce Cassidy would not rule that part out. But as far as tomorrow's game against Washington, we can all but assure to rule William Karlsson out for that game tomorrow night.
Well, I will give credit to our friend Ken Belke from Sin Bin. He was on with Tyler and Ed this morning, and he said, he didn't confirm this, but he did say through his sources that it could be related to the injury he suffered from last year. So whatever that may be, and Ken's reliable, he's got his resources. He hasn't really officially reported on it, but he did say that. So I will give a shout-out to Ken this morning on ESPN Las Vegas with Tyler and Ed from Sin Bin saying that it could be what he was dealing with last year. So we'll wait and see to hear from that.
Playoffs last year. So if that is the case, one, that's something that they want to be very cautious with, because Karlsson definitely tried to play through it in the playoffs last year, and I believe his words at the time were, his hand is not chilling. So they want to make sure it's chilling, quote-unquote, as well as it can be before they get him back on the ice, especially with hamstrings. And, Willie, you probably know this as well as anybody when it comes to, you know, conditioning and whatnot. When you're dealing with a hamstring, you do not want to overdo that, and you do not want to rush it back.
Danny, looking at the Pacific Division, I am not overreacting, but Edmonton 0-3 again. Is this just becoming a common thing with them starting really slow?
You know what? It does get that kind of a feel to it. You know, I would caution everybody, like you mentioned, caution everybody to look at last year when they had one of the worst starts you could have ever imagined, and they go on to the Stanley Cup Finals. So there's a lot of time. There's a reason why they play 82 games. And you know what the Oilers are probably going to figure out eventually. But it is very interesting. You look at those first three games, they've been outscored, I believe it's 15-3. And they've gotten off to a ridiculously slow start, almost as crazy slow as last year's start. So I'm not going to go ahead and throw dirt on them yet. There's obviously a lot of time to go, but you know, if you're Edmonton, you kind of want to see some life in that offense and kind of see what you can do to rebound as much quicker than they had last year, that's for sure.
You and I last night were talking about your request to talk to Logan Thompson. I texted with him this morning. I was happy to see that he did get back to you and that they did set up the interview. That story is now live at lvrj.com. Vegas in Washington tomorrow night, starting a three-game trip in D.C., then Tampa, maybe, and Florida. But most importantly on this trip starts tomorrow, the Logan Thompson revenge game. What did he have to tell you, and what can we read in your story?
Yeah, it was a great chat with Logan. Right now, I think first and foremost, he's very happy. He's happy for the opportunity. He's happy to get the chance to show that he can be a number one goaltender, and he's got a chance with a Washington team that, you know, may not have a surefire answer in goal right now, but he's going to definitely get the opportunity to show that. One of the things that he just wanted, a lot of the things that he reiterated to me today was just the fact that he really wanted to stay with the Golden Knights. He always thought that he would end his career with the Knights. He thought that he would, you know, start and end, you know, what we hoped would be a long, fruitful career coming from Canadian college hockey to where he is now. But he had a feeling that after they went from Logan to Aiden Hill in Game 5 of the first round series against Dallas, that he figured that the time was to go. But right now, Logan seems to be in a very good place. He's very excited about the opportunity to go against his former teammates tomorrow. He's very excited and a little bit weirded out the possibility of seeing Golden Knights jerseys coming at him and shooting at him in a real game tomorrow. But all in all, he's excited. He's excited for the opportunity, and it should be a very exciting atmosphere when the Knights go to Capital One Arena tomorrow.
It's the first game of a three-game road trip, of course, Washington. And then Tampa Bay's the second game. Any word about that game in Tampa due to the hurricane?
So far, no. Every update I have gotten as far as that game so far is status quo. Right now, it does look like that game is on track to happening, to taking place, unless anything changes. I'm sure we'll get a better idea closer to probably Wednesday if that game will be postponed. But for right now, there has been no word from the league or from the Knights that game has been moved. So right now, status quo for that game on Thursday.
I saw you were watching along with the rest of us that were sitting around this morning, matinee games, Thanksgiving in Canada, Columbus Day, so there were some holiday games as far as the three early ones. There was the marathon between Ottawa and L.A., and the Senators are going to be a fun team to watch. But Florida, slugfest, literally, with Boston, the fights that went on in that one. How about Nate Schmidt dropping the gloves in that one? I don't remember him dropping the gloves a lot with Vegas. But the last two Stanley Cup champions, they'll be playing the third leg of this road trip. Golden Knights visit Sunrise, Florida.
Yeah, that should be a very good one. And you know, I would say for Florida, that was a very good win against the Boston team. They, you know, we're trying to figure out what kind of team Boston is right now. But for Florida to not have Sasha Barkov, to not have Matthew Tkachuk, for that game and go and get a victory against a good Bruins team, I would say that shows very good confidence for the defending Cup champs. And, you know, if the Golden Knights, every time, at least for the last few times that these two teams have faced each other, meaning the Knights and the Panthers, it's always become a slugfest as far as fights go, as far as physicality goes. I would not expect anything different, no matter who's in the lineup for Florida, especially with the fact that it is going to be the last two Cup champions in the building in Sunrise. It should be a very fun Saturday afternoon contest, that's for sure.
All right, we got to get to the nitty gritty, very important stuff now. I mean, we got the trivial stuff out of the way. Do we have an over under on marriage proposals inside T-Mobile Arena this season?
I think someone said it to me at 9.5, and I would think the over clears by a wide margin. I'm still holding out hope that the over under of 0.5 of no's hits the over. I still don't know if that's going to happen, but I think the bar is at 9.5. And I think we need to classify that it needs to be on the Jumbotron. If it is not on the Jumbotron in person with the camera on, it does not count. So I'll set it at 9.5, and I will go over.
Okay. 30 seconds. You ready for this one? What's more likely, a no to a marriage proposal, or they'll bring back water bottles for the press?
Water bottles by a very slim margin. I think at some point people will remember that we are in a desert and they will need to supply water bottles up top.
So, yeah, because they took away our water bottles. So you're saying them coming back is like a minus 130 over us seeing a no to a marriage proposal?
100%, because people still hate me and will continue to say yes until the remainder of time.
Yes, people don't know that Danny and I root for the no on marriage proposals sitting next to each other on press row. Alex is laughing at us. Danny, thanks for joining us, my brother. I know we'll be texting during tomorrow's game saying, look at our guy, Logan Thompson. I appreciate you jumping in and sharing some Golden Knights insight.
Of course. Anytime.
There he is, Danny Webster. By the way, Alex, my chat room, I just went back on live, and there's a young kid who we followed each other, Keith Karp. He's a up-and-coming bodybuilder, but he's a college student.
Okay.
And so I go into his chat when he's doing the battles, and we talk bodybuilding. I tell him, what day is it? What did you do at the gym? What did he do at the gym? So I really want him to come to Vegas and come and lift because my son owns a gym, private training facility, and them two to train together because he's always putting up flexing, posing videos, as they say. So, yeah, real good kid. Anyway, we are coming back with the grab bag. We are going to close it down. It's filling up here at Ellis Island, the front yard, so get down here. Plenty of time. We're going to be hanging out for a couple hours afterwards. We got giveaways. It is Willie. It is Alex. It is Cofield & Company at Ellis Island in the front yard.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
All right, we are closing it down here, winding it down. Ellis Island is the place. Front yard. It is Willie. It is Alex. We appreciate you joining in. Tomorrow, we're going to have a great show. We have Adam Hill will be hosting the show. I will be co-hosting with him before I head down to T-Mobile for the Lakers-Warriors preseason game. Can you believe the NBA?
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure everybody and their mother will be asking LeBron, hey, so you want to bring a pro team here? That question's been overused. But anyway, yeah, so we have a great show, and I do know that we are going to be going live to Washington, D.C. right at the start of the show to talk to Ashley Weiss, the ringside reporter. She's going to be called right from the arena.
Wow.
Just as she steps on the bench to do the pregame live on the TV, Golden Knights at Washington. So
Very cool.
We'll have a full-packed show for tomorrow. If you have no place to go, you're out driving around, you're dealing with traffic, screw it. Just get over here to Ellis Island, join us. Incredible menu, incredible food, incredible drinks. $45 all you can eat. NFL Sundays and Mondays, 15 plus beers, $30 all you can drink here in the front yard. So get down here. We're going to be here for a couple hours doing giveaways. So jump on down and join us. Let's get in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, Alex. So the Dodgers, who got pummeled earlier, they did have an incredible shutout streak. 33 consecutive scoreless innings, tied a record. It ends today, but it's now 1-1 that series, heading back to Queens.
I'm really impressed with the Mets today to tie that series up because, yes, the Dodgers shut out the Padres in Game 4 and Game 5 to take that series, shut out the Mets in Game 1, and now the Mets fight back.
What do you see taking place? I mean, can they sustain that? This is a Dodgers lineup that, you know, it's not a matter of the Dodgers lineup as much as it is that pitching staff.
Right, that is where the question marks are, right? And their lineup has really been keeping them in their game. But the pitchers have done well. They've done good enough to get them this far. So I lean to the Dodgers. I do think that they will advance.
All right, and on the other side, we have right now game one of the ALCS, Yankees and Guardians. Guardians started Alex Cobb. Yankees went with Carlos Rodon. It's 3-0 Yankees after three. Did you have something in this game? Or
I did, but sure, it's really easy to say now that the Yankees are up 3-0 that I'm on the Yankees, right? But I did on my shows earlier. I said fun little New York parlay with the Yankees, and not the Jets, actually. The Yankees and the New York Rangers.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay, the blue shirts. We'll have to see. We'll have to check on that before we get out of here and get that. Back in the bag?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, so Stephen A. Smith. Griffin, you sent this over, so get up here. You sent this over. Stephen A. Smith slams Tennessee Titans quarterback Will Levis over his mayonnaise commercials.
Yeah, what a silly little thing Will Levis decided to do. He decided to get on all these mayonnaise commercials. He decided to promote mayonnaise-scented fragrances. And then he goes out and does all that. Then he has the season he's having now where every single game he is producing some funny freaking meme for all social media with his goofy play, his goofy turnovers. Stephen A. Smith, I don't usually agree with a lot of what he says, but this one, he's spot on.
Alex, are you spritzing on a little mayonnaise on your wrist before you walk into with your to the restaurant with your bow?
Should I start doing that? Is that the new thing?
I don't know.
Maybe
put a little mayonnaise under your eyes at night, chilled for the puffiness. I don't know about scented mayonnaise fragrances.
No.
All right, back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
While working the live broadcast for the Detroit Lions and Dallas Cowboys, Tom Brady threw shade at Peyton Manning's record 55 touchdown season. Brady said, I saw Peyton Manning when he threw 55 touchdowns. There were more pick plays in that offense than in the history of NFL football. Since then, they've been cracking down. Believe me, I try to use them all the time too. Griff?
Yeah, just another example of Tom Brady going to his bag when it comes to his career as a broadcaster. I mean, it's cool getting little tidbits here and there, his little beef with Peyton Manning. It's great. But again, you know, you're taking a shot at the sheriff. We need more than that. We need more Brady personality. I feel like the whole thing with Tom Brady is his whole personality is being the GOAT of football. But the GOAT of football, if you're going to be a live broadcaster, you got to bring more than just stories and tidbits. You got to come with a little bit something more.
Yeah, and now let's keep it with Brady. So they're waiting on the approval, right, for him to finish up as far as part ownership with the Raiders. I can't imagine that's not going to go through. I believe it's pretty much a done deal. Now, plus he's broadcasting on these games. He's an owner. I want to know how much say he's going to have in that front office, because especially with an organization where since Josh McDaniels forced Derek Carr out of town, quarterback issue has, you know, that's been the big question mark. So what sort of say-so should Tom Brady have? How much say-so should he have?
I don't know. That's a really tough question. Griffin, where are you on this?
I think back to a perfect example of how I think this could possibly go for Tom Brady as part of the ownership group of the Las Vegas Raiders. I think back to the front office career of John Elway for the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
All the decisions he made. He did have the one great one, which was to bring Peyton Manning over to the Broncos to sign him on, to eventually push Tim Tebow out the door. But besides that, you got moves like signing Brock Osweiler, the tallest man to suck in the NFL at quarterback. You had a lot of real iffy decisions from Elway, and it goes back to a lot of these pro athletes, especially the great ones who retire, and they try to get into a coaching or front office role. They were so great during their career, they expect that same greatness from their players. But if they don't have the understanding that they are an anomaly, they are not the standard. Not everybody can be a Peyton Manning. Not everybody can be a Tom Brady. Not everybody can be a John Elway. So I don't know. I think Tom Brady, as long as he, you know, keeps that in mind, tries to do the job as best possible to make sure the Raiders win as much as possible, it'll be great. But, you know, got to keep those expectations low for these players, man.
All right, one more time. Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, so following the Philadelphia Eagles' 2016 victory over the Cleveland Browns, Alex, you're going to ask about this one. Go ahead.
So Nick Sirianni brought his three children to the postgame press conference for the first time. There's a lot of backlash on this. They're saying that he did it to avoid criticism. I'd have to say I agree. Griffin, where are you with this?
As a Bears fan, believe it or not, I got my strides with the Packers and the Vikings and the Lions. I absolutely despise the Philadelphia Eagles fan base, their team, and especially this Nick Sirianni character who just makes, again, memes and jokes of this whole organization because of his actions, the way he does things, his specialty, which is what, motivator? He's not an OC guy. He's not a DC guy. Who knows what his specialty actually is? And now he's doing stuff like bringing his kids to the press conferences, shaving his head, talking mess to the Cleveland Brown fans after a really sloppy, nasty-looking win. I don't know, man. Greg Salerno could talk more about this team, but I just think y'all need to straighten the tie up a little bit, you know?
Oh, boy. You ignited something. Greg's going to bring that up later on this week. Cofield, we have no clue where he's at. We hope he's okay. We hope he gets back. I think he's pleased with the start of this Jets-Bills game. Get down here to Ellis Island. We're going to be hanging around. We got the Yankees-Guardians on. It's the middle of the fourth. Yankees are winning 3-0. We got the Jets-Bills on. I can't. What was the score, Alex, last time we looked?
10-7,
10-7 Jets.
That's right.
We are going to be hanging out. We got prizes. We got gifts. We got giveaways. We got a two-top all-you-can-eat for Sunday football. So tomorrow, Adam Hill and I are going to be breaking everything down live from the studio before I head to the Lakers-Warriors game. Don't forget Circa Thursdays with Cofield and Company, also Friday at Treasure Island. For Alex, for Mateo, for Griffin, Willie, signing out from Ellis Island Front Yard, it's Cofield and Company.